You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, going back to 1982 for a NFL players' strike. That's the National Football League of American sort of gridiron football, whatever they call it over there. So this took place after several other strikes that had happened earlier. This was probably the most successful. I think they shut it down for 50-something days. The NFL conceded to a bunch of their requests, which were mainly about pay, sort of specific like retirement bonuses and gross revenue percentages and all that sort of complicated stuff. But it was quite, I think, a shock to American, sort of the average American, because I think for them, NFL is sort of their sport. Maybe the only thing that would come close, maybe baseball, but I don't think that's actually American. They've just sort of taken it, and it's sort of kind of a boring game compared to NFL when you've got, you know, the people colliding into each other and sort of crashing into each other. So it's all that sort of
combat.
Baseball
was like their sport. It's the national pastime.
But it is quite boring, Lachlan.
Oh, I know.
It's non-combat and still contact.
But, you know, NFL doesn't really do it for me.
No, I know.
Compared to baseball, though?
No, give me football. It's a beautiful game.
Woohoo! Hot take.
Not in America. There's
not true.
There's just a lot of timeouts in NFL. But it is distinctively their sport.
Yeah.
Like, no other nation really plays it. Whereas baseball, you have huge populations.
Japanese.
Yeah. Apparently they're better at it, too.
Better
at the Japanese.
Better at everything, probably. Yeah. but yeah, so it very much been sort of America's game. As you will see in this newsreel from the 1960s.
"65,000 fans are on hand in Soldiers Field, Chicago, to watch the 28th annual All-Star football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the College All-Stars. Eagle quarterback Sonny Jurgensen clicks with a pass to Bobby Walston for 17 yards to the Stars' 33. Another pass by Jurgensen, this time to Tommy McDonald, who carries over for the touchdown. Still in the first quarter, Bill Kilmer from UCLA punts, and Irv Cross runs the ball back to the All-Stars' 25-yard line. The Eagles are last year's National Football League champs. Jurgensen wipes away memories of his predecessor, Norman Van Brocklin, pitching another pass to the end zone, and Pete Retzlaff hauls it in, making it Eagles 14, All-Stars nothing. Quarterback King Hill takes over from Jurgensen in the second quarter, starting another Eagle drive with a swing pass to Tim Brown. This time, Hill spots his man cutting in, and McDonald makes a brilliant catch just as he dives into pay dirt and puts the Eagles ahead 21 to nothing at the half. With the Eagles' Jurgensen back at the helm, he tosses another one for a TD to McDonald, who takes it across for his third touchdown of the game. The Crows lead 28 to nothing. All-star Kilmer can't find a receiver, so he does it himself, running up the middle to the Eagles' 19. Then the UCLA star finds the catcher, and he slings a perfect pass to Glenn Gregory from Southern Methodist, and the Stars hit pay dirt. Just as the game is ending, Hill passes. Dick Rickney from Ohio U snags it for the All-Stars, and with blockers at his heels, he runs 57 yards to score. But the Eagles win 28-14.
Yes, and despite the central role in sort of American life, this wasn't enough for a lot of the players who founded the National Football League Players Association, which went on numerous strikes. In the context of 1982, the most recent being in 1974.
Denver Bronco kicker Jim Turner is the player representative for the Broncos for the National Football Players Association and is headed for Chicago in some meetings that perhaps might be the first shot in what could be some pretty sticky situations, Jim.
Well, we're going to put all of our facts together, and we will determine the direction in the next week. The direction that we're going to go in negotiations with the owners will be determined this week in Chicago.
It seems that you're so much better organized to bring your side of the story to the public this time than last.
Well, I think what happened was last time that the majority of players didn't really know what was going on because we weren't organized as an association, as a union in total. And we also, I hate to say it, a lot of players just flat didn't trust the press.
That's rather a blanket description of a lot of us in the media, but the conference that you had here today with the press, I think, will eliminate a lot of that, and you also brought to light many things that the public is unaware of. What are your priorities at this meeting?
Well, I think really Commissioner Roselle will be discussed in great detail, especially the fact that he was just awarded a new 10-year contract and obviously a great increase. He's done a great job as commissioner. We want to go after the fact that he's the neutral arbiter, and I hope that when we have more time, we can explain this to the public.
How about the player contract, Jim?
Well, the contract obviously has to be rearranged a little bit, because as it stands right now, I personally feel it's a one-way contract. In other words, a boy can sign a 3-year contract, and if he gets cut, in other words, say the Denver Broncos don't want him, he's still obligated for 3 years plus the option year, even though they cut him. He doesn't become an automatic free agent where he can go out and dicker for everybody, because they don't give him, they don't make him a free agent. They don't give him his outright release at all times.
You were asked today what your guess would be on the possibility of a player strike. What is it?
Well, I think there'll be a delay in the preseason. Just from the history of the last negotiations in 1970, they were dirty negotiations. They were very difficult because the owners are very staunch and sturdy men, and so are some of the players. And I would say that right now there'll be a delay in preseason.
Jim, good luck to you at those meetings. It's going to be a long, long, tough spring, it looks like.
It certainly is. I'm looking forward to the meetings. I'm looking forward to finding out everything, and hopefully we can get things done before July 14th, which was the first negotiating session last time. It's got to be started before that this time.
Indicative of the fact that the Denver Broncos will be well represented at these meetings.
That was part one of this day in history. Part two will be right back after a quick break.
Are you healthy and not on any medication? Auckland Clinical Studies is looking for males and females aged between 18 and 55 years for a new clinical trial. You need to be in good health, not on any medication, and commit to 4-night in-house stays and some short follow-up appointments. You'll be paid for your time and travel expenses. Text ACS followed by your email address to 244, and Auckland Clinical Studies will email you the study information today. Standard charges apply.
You got much more stuff?
Yeah, I was just getting the last of it from the ute. Thanks for organising this gig, Johnny.
No worries, mate. Big fan.
Where's the dressing room?
People just get changed in the toilet.
Oh, no, my friend. To leave my things.
I'll hold onto them.
Ah, lekker. This is a lot more exciting than the Browns Bay RSA. How many people did you say we were going to be playing for?
Probably, Connor. Just set the drums up on that ottoman.
But how are we going to get paid?
It's more of an exposure thing. Connor tells two friends, one of them might tell someone else. Hey, mind that lamp.
Every Friday, live music direct from the 95BFM Lounge. Friday Live, only on 95BFM Drive. Brought to you by Rudy's, Brewers of Beer. Go to rudys.beer.
Yes, I am. The rhythm selection, you know. Every Monday night from 9 till 11, Dobby and the selectors play the full range of ghetto sound. Yeah, man. From rock steady to roots reggae, bebop sound to hip hop, dub style to the latest dancehall vibes. Yeah, man. The rhythm selection. Boy, the rhythm selection. Why? The rhythm selection. Oh yeah. From 9 to 11 and 95 FM. Dobby Dam get selectors. The rhythm selection.
This day in history returns.
Yes.
Over to you, Ben.
And when we left off, NFL players had gone on strike in 1974 and successfully negotiated a collective bargaining contract with the league. However, this expired in 1982, leading to a further round of industrial action.
First in Ohio, TV5 Eyewitness News with Ted Henry, Pat Manarson, and the Eyewitness News team.
Hello, Cleveland. I'm Ted Henry, and the strike is on. The National Football League has called a strike that will begin tomorrow. Gib Shanley has more on this, and Gib, is it going to be a long one?
I don't know, Ted. I didn't think they'd do it in the first place, so I can't tell how long it's going to go. For the first time in the 63-year history of the NFL, a strike will stop play.
The Players Association's Executive Committee decided at a meeting today that work stoppage will begin immediately following tonight's game between New York and Green Bay. Browns player rep Doug Deacon was cornered earlier today after his players' 45-minute meeting.
We have made a counterproposal. We have come off our percentage of the gross, but we feel that we have taken a big step, but there's been no action on their part. And thus, in turn, it looks as if today, in our 2 o'clock meeting, you know, we're going to wait for the phone call, but it does not look very optimistic for next week.
That there has to be a door that somebody can enter and close and sit down and have an agreement. Because right now, the biggest problem is all you're looking at is egos. But what has to prevail is common sense.
Well said. Professional sports affects more than just the players, owners, and fans. Alan Davis reports.
Cleveland Stadium without professional football is about as unusual as a Cleveland winter without snow. A football player strike wouldn't stop the snow, but it would empty out the stadium and a lot of people's pockets as well.
If we looked at the whole season, what it means in dollars to the restaurant as far as sales is probably upwards of $50,000 in lost sales for the remainder of the season.
Bill Black manages John Q's on Public Square, one of several downtown restaurants which opens up on Sundays just for pregame brunches and postgame drinks. The shutdown means not only that he would lose business, but his waiters and bartenders could lose up to $40 a week on wages and tips. For waitress Barb Brenner, it means more than dollars and cents.
I think more important than financially, the loss of the football strike would mean less male bodies in this restaurant for me to look at.
For Anita Sater, manager of a downtown parking lot, a strike means about a $4,000 dip in the take from parking the football fans. But it doesn't change her feelings about the players' rights.
Under the circumstances, everybody has got a right to do what they want to do. And if they feel that they're not getting enough in their whatever they're arguing about, really, I think they have a right.
Crane's Cleveland Business estimates the city might lose more than $60 million if the strike should last the season. But the players' walkout today could be a signal to the owners that it's the two-minute warning, which means there's still time to save the game. For Eyewitness Sports, this is Alan Davis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.